Here it is, a couple minutes past 5 p.m., and I hope that it is of no surprise to you that it is time for American Hit Radio, 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. Nor should it be a surprise that I'm Tom Ryan, and definitely not a surprise that my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, is here with me as well. We've been doing this every Wednesday and Friday now for ages, literally ages. As I age and continue to do this. And if you are familiar, I've got to give you a lot of credit because what it says to me is that you've got a very wide open range of tastes. Because to appreciate this show at all on any level, you really do have to be able to appreciate all different types of music because we do not stick to one single thing. I think that's one thing that is more obvious than anything. We cover just about every single genre. The whole point was of us trying to pick out our favorite albums, whether they were popular or unpopular, thus two lists of albums that never made the top 40 and then another equal list of albums that did make the top 40, 500 of each, mix them together. That's 1,000 albums that we chose. That's 1,000 shows that we intend to accomplish in chronological order as we play them. And that has brought us from early classic, like Frank Sinatra sort of things. Jazz was very popular in the early parts of our series. Of course, early rock and roll, R&B, funk, every type of popular music that you can imagine has more or less popped up on this series. And now that we're in 1976, I would say that this is where it really, I keep saying this every single week because 1976 is such a strange year as far as things beginning to bounce around. And today compared, what we're doing today compared to what we did last week, I think is a very obvious example of that. Last week we covered the Ramones' debut album and we talked about how that was a total like shapeshifter in terms of what was happening with music and how it also, as important as it was, it also really was not welcomed with open arms by everybody at first when they first heard it. And there was a lot of pushback. I made a joke about people, still playing their Doobie Brothers albums and ignoring the Ramones for the first part. Well, here is a real great example of exactly what I was talking about, but it's an album that I still love very much to this day. Because I'm a huge fan of Steely Dan, and it's obviously a coincidence, but also deeply ironic that what I consider to be Steely Dan's best album hit the marketplace at approximately the same time that the Ramones released their debut album. Two more opposing stylistic profiles could hardly have been invented, and yet here they were, back-to-back and face-to-face. In 1976, showing respect to both sides of these very opposite musical styles would have seemed impossible. But, it did somehow straddle that fence. I suppose it is easy to make judgmental statements, and time, as well as haughty critical opinion, has been kinder to the punk era than to the studio-conscious cranial approach that Steely Dan represented. But then, and still as of now, after we've moved a half century on, I have no problem expressing my appreciation for both, despite their glaring differences. Steely Dan is certainly guilty of composing technically perfect albums, and Royal Scam may be the most perfect of the batch. Unlike some others, though, other Steely Dan albums that focused heavily on the high fidelity quotient. Albums like Asia and Katie Lied, I think, are two of the most technically advanced and brilliantly produced albums that were ever made. The Royal Scam, though, relies primarily on content and diversity. Not to say that the production is lacking, but the songwriting and wordplay on this selection of songs on The Royal Scam reaches a peak that works on so many levels that it might even confuse the listener. Are they trying to be funny? Are they sincere? Are they bitter? Or maybe they're just weird? The truth is that this is probably the closest that Donald Fagen and Walter Becker ever came to being honest to the point of vulnerability, allowing the listening audience to see many sides of their personalities without the guise of the clever machinations that they often utilized. Some songs are so vivid that they feel cinematic in their scope. The opening song, Kid Charlemagne, could have been, should be, maybe, a movie about the tribulations of Owsley Stanley, the famous manufacturer of lysergic acid. We'll get to that in a second. Haitian Divorce takes on a colorful, quote-unquote, journey of a family falling apart while simultaneously and accidentally growing. Well, Everything You Did takes you inside the private domain of a warring couple. The album's title track says as much about the plight of the mid-century New York City Puerto Rican as West Side Story implied. Songs like The Fez and Green Earrings are inscrutably weird, but also incredibly fun, with magnificent instrumental arrangements. But everything else is quite literate and literal in the lyrical presentation. As time passed, most critics deemed The Ramones as a masterpiece of its time, while The Royal Scam mostly gets overlooked these days. But to me, it's like comparing a cartoon to a classic film. Both are great in their own way, and one of them certainly changed the course of music, but the other should be rewarded and remembered for its substance. So, that to me is Royal Scam. So let's get down to substance. The opening track, Kid Charlemagne, was a single, edited version of it, only went to number 80. It is a song about Owsley Stanley. Owsley Stanley made the best acid in the late 60s and was famous for it. And this song is about how his stuff was the best. And you'll hear lyrics. On the hill, the stuff was laced with kerosene, but yours was kitchen clean. And they talk about everyone stopped to stare at your Technicolor motorhome. That's because he was delivering a lot of acid to the Merry Pranksters who had the bus, the Further, I think was the name of the bus. And he was, you know, on that bus a lot, the psychedelic bus. There's other lyrics where this, like, well, this has got to clean this mess up or we'll all end up in jails. Is there gas in the car? Yes, there's gas in the car. Well, that's how he got busted, because there wasn't gas in the car. He ran out of gas and the cops caught him. And that's how Owsley Stanley ended up getting arrested. So all of this is essentially a true story, and it opens like a movie. But the thing to really pay attention to on top of that is how amazing the music is. Larry Carlton plays the lead guitar on this song. And I don't really care so much about technical proficiency in any particular way, but this is truly amazing. There's two guitar breaks. There's the one in the middle that takes place between the verses, and then there's the one that fades out the song. And just about any guitar player in the world says that's one of the best guitar solos of all time. And even Larry Carlton says that, I can't think of anything else that I still like to listen to that I played as strongly as that. As far as he's concerned, it's the one thing that he loves to play more than anything else. And he said he recorded about 2 hours worth of solos that they didn't keep. And then eventually he played that one bit and they decided to keep it. And then he punched in for the second half and it was done in two parts. And the solo that just fades out at the end was done in one pass. Whoa. So check it all out. Here is Kid Charlemagne.
Town. Just by chance you crossed the diamond with the pearl. You turned it on the world. That's when you turn the world around. Did you feel like Jesus? Did you realize that you were a champion in their eyes? On the hill the stuff was laced with kerosene. Yours was kitchen clean. Everyone stopped to stare at your Technicolor motorhome. Every apron had your number on the wall. You must have had it all.
That musically is that once it's down the track and you hear it a few times, there's a certain inevitability about it almost. The guitar playing is just so good. And the lyrics, you have to admit, they're fantastic. It is like a movie, isn't it? It's almost cinematic. Now, the next song is really autobiographical. At least I believe it is. These guys were East Coasters, but the song is called Caves of Altamira, I guess about the caves that they had said that they had been in as a child, maybe they meant as a young man, where they had actually gone in and they've seen where on the caves there were paintings on the wall. And it got them to thinking about how man had evolved. And I think it's self-evident, the lyrics. I think that there's one of the few Steely Dan songs that is not inscrutable, where you can tell exactly what's going on. It's called The Caves of Altamira.
So I went and found my own. I would climb the garden wall with a candle in my hand. I'd hide inside a hole of rock and sand. On the stone, an ancient hand in a faded yellow green made alive a world of wonder often told but never seen. Never bound to labor on the sea and in the sky. Every man and beast appeared, a friend as real as I. Before the fall, when they wrote it on the wall, when there wasn't even any Hollywood, they heard the call and they wrote it on the wall. For you and me, the art is good. Sad design could be the very same. A woolly man without a face and a beast without a name. Nothing here but history. Can you see what has been done? Memory rush over me. Now I step into the song. Before the fall, when they wrote it on the wall, when there was
The Caves of Altamira, second track on side one of this, an album that really never lets up, The Royal Scam. To my mind, it's like it's a perfect album, because I don't think there's a bad song on it. The next track, again, very straightforward. It could be a James Cagney lyric, because again, it's not hard to tell what it's about. It's about somebody who's desperate, and it's called Don't Take Me Alive.
Thank you.
So side one starts off with three tracks that you can say, well, you know, these guys aren't so weird. I can understand these songs. They make sense. But now it gets weird. The next track is called Sign In Stranger. And you've really got to go deep to figure out what this one is about. But I've tried to read into it a little bit, being a deep Steely Dan fan. And I found out that there's a book by a guy called Jack Vance that's called Star King. It's possible that they were reading it, because in that book, it's about a planet called Mesar 6. And they sing about Mesar 5 in the lyrics. So it might be about... Now, this is 1975. Heidi, when did Star Wars come out, the movie?
Wait, the first one?
Yeah. Was that 76?
No, it's sometime in the 70s. I'm not exactly sure.
I'm pretty sure that it was after this. But I think that in my head, and this is rather interesting to me now, I think that what they're singing about is more or less a scene that invokes the idea of the bar scene from the very first Star Wars movie, 77. So here it is 2 years before. Star Wars didn't exist yet. But this song, in a lot of ways, like, talks about that sort of, like, people who are basically coming to a place to, they're all thieves, and they're all criminals, and they're all gathering together in this place called Mesar five in order to like steal money or to ransack a place and then move on. That's how I've seen it. It turns out that there really is a Misar 5, and it is one of the stars in the Big Dipper, in the handle of the Big Dipper. So there you go. Here's a sign-in stranger. WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City is what you're listening to. The show is American Net Radio, and we've got one more song on side one. This is totally, absolutely inscrutable. Can't help you here on what it's about. It's called The Fez, but it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And if we flip the record over, we have another song, which is, again, absolutely inscrutable. No sense in my even trying to make sense of it. And it's just as much fun as the Fez. It's called Green Earrings. Amazing instrumental track. I love the drums. That's Bernard Purdy on drums. On most of this album, it's Bernard Purdy. It's great. Now, the next track, Haitian Divorce, it's a story. I'll sum it up real quick. An on-again, off-again couple have a breakup scenario, and the wife decides to leave, and she goes to Haiti just to get away. While she's there, she has a fling, but she comes back home. The couple, they reunite, everything's fine. Her and her mate get together again. She becomes pregnant, and they're really happy until she has the baby. And who's this kinky so-and-so is how the song ends. Here's Haitian Divorce.
shouts, she bites, they wrangle through the night, yeah, she go crazy.
That's another example of the cinematic scope of their songwriting on this album, where you could almost see a movie being made by a single song. And the next track could be a continuation of the exact same story. It's called Everything You Did, and it's a song about a couple fighting loudly in their apartment about him finding out about her cheating, and he is enraged, and he now wants to get every single ounce of information out of her to humiliate her. And in the middle of this very angry thing, this scene, he says, "Turn up the Eagles. The neighbors are listening," which is a pretty funny line, because it turns out that there's a true story about it. Glenn Frey of the Eagles was quoted as saying, apparently Walter Becker's girlfriend loved the Eagles and she played them all the time and it drove him nuts. So the story goes that they were having a fight one day, and that was the genesis of him writing that line. Eventually, the Eagles would pay them back on the song Hotel California. They would throw that line in about they stab it with their steely knives, but they still can't kill the beast. It was their way of referring to Steely Dan, because they couldn't say they stabbed it with the Steely Dan, because it didn't make sense. So they did as best as they could. But they both had the same manager, so it was like kind of like a good friendly rivalry thing that they did. But here's Everything You Did. Yeah, this is the darker side, isn't it? Well, it ends with a dark song, the title song, The Royal Scam. It's essentially about the New York City Puerto Rican emigration and how it came about, how basically lies, disappointment, and shame caused the Royal Scam. Listen to the words. It's very self-evident. I hope you enjoyed this, and this story is very important. I hope that it sinks in, and hope you can join us next week and hear us for Jimi Hendrix on Friday. Take care, folks.